cord. And this
thank the Lord for electricity and for the PowerPoint. I'm assuming it's working. Yes. Thank the Lord. We were busy praying and then the electricity went on and I was so bummed because I thought I have this beautiful picture that I really wanted to show you and some pink in between because it's just me and Jules here tonight. So there it is. So let's just quickly pray before we begin. Now, Father, we just want to honor you for tonight and for your timing and for knowing exactly what you have planned for each of us individually. Thank you, Father, that when you come to speak to us, you already know what it is that you want to speak to. What are the things that you want to address in our lives? What are the areas that you want us to open our hearts and to really hear you, to see you for who you are? And so, Father, I pray tonight that each of us will open our hearts to connect with you, not with a message, not with a person, not with anyone here, Father, but with you, that our desire will be to hear from your heart, to receive what is in your heart. And Father, saying that, I also pray that anything that is said tonight that we shouldn't remember, that it will fall to the wayside and that you will just sharpen every thought that you have meant to be heard tonight. You want every individual here to hear. And thank you, Father, that you know us, each of us. You walk a road with us. You know our hearts. And I pray, Father, that what is said tonight will go so much further than scripture or words on a page, Father, but it will go into the heart of hearts, the deep of the deep, Lord, and that you will be the one ministering. And Lord, we come and sit at your feet, and we ask that you will reveal your heart to us. In Jesus' name. Amen. Can I maybe ask that someone just turn off the fan there, because it's causing a bit of a feed. Okay, so tonight, my sermon is actually inspired by one of my family members. We were in Bloom this week, and it was just lovely to be able to spend time with family. All of my brothers and sisters now have like kids, and we were just, it was kids everywhere. Front, back, we were like, here they are, there they are, having time with them in dinner, in breakfast, and it's really a big adjustment if you're not used to that. And this morning, I had to preach at the family service, and Tien's just said to me before, whatever you do, say what you want to say and get done, because it's so many distractions, and I'm the worst person ever when it comes to that. I'm like squirrel. I just look everywhere to all the distractions. So this morning, I don't know what happened. Everything was quiet. There wasn't one baby screaming. There was no toddler running around. So the Lord is really faithful, even in the little things. But to get back to my point. So we were with family, and my brother is a pastor at the Doxa Bloemfontein Church. And he actually did a sermon on the book that we're going to do tonight. He had his own spin, obviously, and his own thing, but only the way that my brother can say it. So I'm not going to copy a sermon, just saying that over the mic. But I was really inspired just by the book that he used, which is the book of Hebrews, and to go and look at it myself and again to see what is it that God wants us to hear and what is it that he wants us to say. And I was really challenged. So I want to say to you up front, this is going to be a challenging message. The families were very quiet this morning, and afterwards everyone was like, no, it was good. So I was, at one point, was worried, like, I'm losing everyone because it's so heavy. But we are shofar. We like the heavy messages. Secondly, I really believe that this is a word that God wants us to walk in terms of where we are as a church and where we are as a country and what's going on at the moment. So if it feels really hectic at some point, you are allowed to wave at me so I can just lighten the mood a little bit because I do tend to go into very deep places. Okay, so Hebrews 11 verse 6, if you want to read with me, I'm using the ESV. So these are the two scriptures that we all know very well. We like to message these to people, we mail them, we pray over them, we take them for ourselves, we really believe what they say. And the two are, now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. The second one is in Hebrews 11 verse 6, it says, and without faith it is impossible to please him, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So now we all know these scriptures, okay? So from the first we can clearly see that God is saying to us, faith means to believe and hope for things that we cannot see, that we don't have any guarantee for, okay? And we all know this, and we've learned it, and we've memorized it since we've been in Sunday school, since little, okay? The second one is also the obvious one, that we understand that without this kind of faith, a faith that can see and hope for things that we cannot see, It is impossible to please God. And I love that it says, for whoever would draw near to God must believe that he exists and that he rewards those who seek him. So in a summary, what we take from the scripture is if I have enough faith, God will reward me. Right? Yes? Okay, we're going to have a little bit of interaction tonight. If I have enough faith, if I really believe, if I draw near, if I believe with all of my heart, God will reward me. Right? It's scriptural. That's what it says. But the problem is we look at it from our perspective. We look at it from the point of view that, okay, so if I am standing in faith, for example, a better job or a higher salary or that person that I've been trying to catch the eye, okay? If I pray enough and believe enough and hope enough, God's word says that he will reward me. But what happens is we look at it and say, that reward will then look like the thing that I'm standing in faith for. You know the line that we love to use, if I pitch my faith, okay, everyone's smart. If I pitch my faith, if I trust enough, then God's going to reward me with the exact thing that I'm hoping for. But the problem is, what it actually says is he rewards those who seek him. Rewards. In other words, it's a reward that is a God reward. And most of the time, God's ways are not our ways. His thoughts are not our thoughts. Hello, guys. That was weird. Did you go wrong? Hello, my love. You do it pretty well. Welcome. Okay. All right, so, welcome back. So what we do is we get despondent when the reward doesn't look like the way we thought it was supposed to look. And I have to be honest with you, the people that sit with me in TNs, most of the time afterwards we say to one another, most people get angry at God when they actually have done what the scripture said they must do, and then they don't get the reward. And every time I think, I don't know what to say to you. I don't know how to make the situation better. Yes, it's sucky. Yes, it doesn't help that this didn't happen that you hoped for. But the problem is, it's actually just because we project onto that scripture what we think it should look like. And God just says that I will reward your faith. But that doesn't mean he's going to reward it in the way that we think the package should look like. Okay? Is everyone still with me? Okay. So, that was the light scripture, by the way. I'm just telling you. Not really. So now we move on. We go to the rest of the book of Hebrews, and we start reading about all the great heroes of faith. We read about Moses, and we read about Abraham as one that we love. We read about David, and we start seeing how these heroes stood in faith, and they got what they wanted. And so from Hebrews 11, verse 32, it says, "And what more shall I say? For time would fail me to tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, of David and Samuel, and the prophets, who through faith," and I want you to see the highlighted words, what they actually got by standing in faith for these things. Conquered kingdoms, enforced justice, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions. And there's obviously referring to Daniel and his friends. Quenched the power of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, were made strong out of weakness, became mighty in war. Put foreign armies to flight. Women received back their dead by resurrection. Hallelujah. Okay. This is what we want to hear. They stood in faith and they overcame. They enforced. They stopped. They quenched. The dead was raised. Hallelujah. Okay. We get excited by this passage because this builds our faith. Because we look at it and go, Lord, this is what I want. So I want to pray for that raise, and I'm going to get it, okay? Now, I want you to hear me. I'm not at all saying that God doesn't want to give us these things that we want. But God, just like the good Father that he is, knows what we need. And what we need is not always what we want. And if you had to go back to when you were a small child and you went to your dad or your mom and you started nagging them for that thing that you thought you needed, and they start saying, no, then you have the perspective. And that's not because God sees us as children, but just because He sees the full picture. He sees what we need. And that doesn't always co-line with what we want. And now what happens is we read this passage and we stop at 35a. And that's all we read. And now we go to the Lord and say, Lord, look what they did. They prayed, they stood in faith, and it happened. So I'm going to stand in faith, it's going to happen. Okay, now I see some of you know this passage, I'm very impressed. You're already shaking your heads, okay. But for most of us, we don't want to read further. Because the next part is not the nice part. Some were. And I want to stop there first. I want you to hear that when they say some were, they're still talking about the great heroes of faith. So before we go on, as we go on through this, they are still talking about the great heroes of faith. Some were tortured, refusing to accept release so that they might once again, rise again to a better life. Others suffered mocking and flogging and even chains and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn in two. They were killed with a sword. They went about in skins of sheep and goats, destitute, afflicted, mistreated, of whom the world was not worthy. And I love that it actually says that, that God sees them as worthy, even though the world did not. Wandering about in deserts and mountains and in dens and caves of the earth. You can stop there. This shakes our faith. Because we don't want to read from 35b onwards. We don't want to hear this. We don't want to hear that there's a chance that we can stand in faith for something and it's not going to happen the way we think. We don't want to hear that there's a possibility that we did go to God, and we did believe, and we did hope, and it might not happen. But God says that all of these were people of faith, and they are all equally worthy. But the outcome is not something that we can look in the natural, because God doesn't look in the natural. And the reason why I can say that is because of the next verse. Begun. And all of these, though commended through their faith, did not receive what was promised, since God had provided something better for us, that apart from us, they should not be made perfect. Bottom line, they had a faith in who God was, in the promise of what was to come. That's where their faith was aimed towards. That's why Daniel and his friends, even though they're in the first group, you know that Daniel said to him, oh, God will deliver us, but even if he does not, I will not bow. Can we understand what kind of faith that takes? That takes faith that is unshakable. In other words, faith that is not determined by what we get out of it, but faith that is completely determined by who we are worshiping. Who we are following. And in the current city that we are in Cape Town, it's very easy to get angry with God if we don't get our way. Because it looks like everyone else is getting their way. Everyone else around us is driving the big cars and the fancy houses and the fancy clothes. And we're struggling. And it feels like that sometimes. And then you look around at your friends sitting in church and you go, but everyone's struggling. Lord, where's my cut? Where's the thing that I stood in faith for? But then we look at the news and we see at what's happening in Kenya. And I'm shaken because I go, Lord, can I say that I will withstand that? If someone had to run into our church right now and put each of us to gunpoint and say, deny right now, will we be able to do it? And look, I'm not saying this is easy. I'm not saying this lightly. at all. I'm saying it because I'm going through the exact same challenge. But God is asking me, why are you here? And I've been asking it to the leaders as well. Why are you here? Because if I'm here for myself, I'm never going to make it. I'll never be set free from the things that is keeping me in bondage. But if I'm here for one thing and one thing alone, and that is Jesus Christ, then nothing can sway my faith. No thing can keep me in bondage. Because I know that I know that I serve the God that has already overcome. Perspective, okay? So, Tim Keller did a bit of research and read lots of books and things that was written in between the time of the Old Testament and the New Testament. That's about 400 years. And in that time, somewhere in that time, there was a king, the king of Syria, that was described as a brutal king. Okay, now if you have to describe someone as brutal, you can imagine. And so what happened is in that time, he would make a big show of it, and he would call people into the city square, and he would, in front of everyone, ask them to deny their faith, and if they didn't do it, then he would kill them. And he did this often to make a point. So now, please be aware that what I'm going to say now is not going to be a nice story, okay? But I feel like I need to say it straight. So there's a very famous story of a mom with seven sons. And what the king did was he started calling these sons one by one into the center. And he asked them to deny, literally mocked them, saying, deny your faith. Call out your king to save you. Deny your faith and bow down. And the first son didn't do it. He said, no, I will not. And so now what the king did is he cut off his tongue. He cut off his arms and legs, he scalped him, and then while he was still alive, he roasted him on an open fire in front of his family. And when that was done, the second son came, and all seven sons died. Now, some of us here are new mothers or pregnant or mothers that have children that are already in varsity or older and that are married. Can you imagine what this mother had to go through? And I said this morning, honestly, if it was me, my reaction would probably either be, I will rather go. I will rather take their place. Like, I wouldn't be able to handle it. Or the worst is to rather tell my sons, just don't, just deny. Like, that would be my fleshly reaction, which I guess is normal. But what is amazing is what they actually wrote, what the mother said. She was encouraging them. She was standing on the side and encouraging them not to deny their faith. And what she said, and obviously it's paraphrased, was, for your life is not your life. God, who is the giver of life, will give you back your life. Guys, the faith that it takes to know that you know, even in the midst of something that is so traumatic. That takes a faith that can see God and know that He is God. That takes the faith that can look death in the eye and say, I will not fear you. I want us to go to the next scripture. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. What amazes me about this woman is she had hope in a promise that was not yet fulfilled. She had hope in that one day I will also be in the new city with the Lord. She was still waiting for the Savior, and yet their faith was that great. Now fast forward and here we are. That promise has been fulfilled. Christ has come. He has paid the price. He has walked the road. He was beaten. He was flogged. He was killed. also because of the fact that he believed for what he stood. Because that's all they wanted. They wanted him to declare that God is nothing. And he said nothing. He endured. And I love that it even says, because of the joy that was set before him. What is the joy? Do you know what is the joy that is set before you? The joy is knowing the Lord. The privilege of knowing the God that has already paid the price in blood and has made a way for us that even in the worst of situations or the lightest, that we can say with absolute surety, my faith is in God, not in man, not in the situation, and definitely not in the reward. And yes, honestly, sometimes the small things are the things that gets us the most, those little foxes, the little things. You know, this looks hectic to think about what if we had to die for our faith. But let's take it back to something small. Those little things that irritate us in our lives. I said as well, like, Murray and I have literally been struggling for 2 years to get our bathroom roof fixed. That is the smallest thing ever, okay? And after a while, you're so irritated because why can't this thing just get right? Okay, so many things this year alone. I finally have a car after 3 years, and everything with this car has gone wrong. And then you forget the blessing of the car completely, because all you see is everything that went wrong. And actually, I say to Murray, you know what? I've already forgotten the fact that I'm so grateful that I have a car. Okay. Now, yes, the circumstances is worlds apart. Yes, it's completely silly to go, I've stood in faith for a car and now I have it and now I'm so angry. Yes, it's completely ridiculous to compare that with people that have suffered. But in our context, that's what we do. We get angry at God for not coming through in those little things where the foxes come to steal, because we lose sight of what the real reward is. He is the reward. And if we start getting that, if we can have that as a revelation, no more things that keep us in bondage. No more things that determine our joy. No more things that can come and minister to us, because we know that we know our God is a consuming fire. Tim Keller said this amazing thing. A faith that doesn't need success is the ultimate success. That is amazing. That is something you can quote on Facebook, okay? Tim Keller, a faith that doesn't need success. And we have to be honest with ourselves tonight. We have to open our eyes before the Lord and honestly say, are the things that you currently and are currently standing in faith for, even in authority for, is it because we want that desire, the fleshy desire, or is it because we want God? Is our desire the Lord, or is it what we can get from God? And again, I'm not saying this lightly. This is not easy. But I'm hungry for a faith that can withstand the worst of the worst and the stupid little fox at my feet. I want a faith that is unshakable. And that's only going to happen practically if all I see and all I desire is God. And that means now, right now, going to work and not being thrown by the heaviness around us, not being weighed down by the shackles around us, because we have something greater to hope for. Not being fearful of what's going on in the country. Right or wrong, it doesn't matter. Something's happening in the spirit. Our country is moving in the spirit, and we can either be in the spirit prepared or running scared. Our battle is always in the spirit. And that's why when we read of all those heroes of the faith, that's why they were also mentioned. Because they knew that the battle was in the spirit. And not in the flesh. They knew the reward was God and not necessarily being set free. Amen. I'm going to ask the band to come up, Salong. You can stand with me. The last verse, Hebrews 12, verse 28. Therefore, let us be grateful for receiving a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And thus let us offer to God acceptable worship with reverence and awe, for our God is a consuming fire. That is our hope. That is our foundation. And I want to give you a moment while the band's getting ready and we're going to worship, we're going to continue in worship. Just for everyone to close your eyes. And I want you to really be honest with yourself tonight. Why are you here? Can you remember why God called you to his arms in the first place? Do you know where you are going and why you are going there? And if you are not sure anymore tonight, if you are standing here and maybe thinking, sure, God, I'm actually not sure. I've got caught up in just getting by, in just surviving every day, paying my bills, looking after my family, doing the best that I can. And you want to get that answer again. You want to come back to the foundation of why you are living. I want you to quickly put up your hand and we're going to pray together. Thank you for those hands. I want you to keep up your hands. Everyone's eyes are closed. This is between you and God. If there's anyone else, you're welcome to join us. And so, Father, by faith, as we put up our hands tonight, we do it as a symbol to say, Lord, we want to come back to a place where our true north is clear. The reason for our living, for our being, is you. Our reason for fighting the good fight and enduring and finishing the race is you. And Father, for every hand that is up tonight, Lord, I want to come pray clarity over every mind. That once again, these hearts and these minds will know that they know why they are here, why they are busy with what they're busy with, why they are living. So Lord, I speak your clarity and your hope over each of them. That they will once again hear your voice clearly directing them back to their true north, back to purpose, back to a reason for living. Thank you for your grace as well. Thank you that your grace is enough. Amen. In the second group, while your eyes are still closed, if you really feel that you got tonight's sermon and you get it and it's applicable in your life already, then you're praying with us. You're praying for the people around you. You're praying for whoever. The second thing I want to ask is that a lot of times the reason why we struggle with this kind of faith is because we feel we have to do it out of our own strength. We have to make it happen. We have to try and try and try. But that's not God's heart for us. And that's not scriptural. God does say, in your weakness, I am strong. Because I'm sure that when that mom stood there, she was at the weakest place ever. But in her weakness, God made her strong to endure. And so tonight, if you feel, I need to know that I can stand on the rock that is God. I want to say it, I want to declare it by putting up my hand tonight. I'm saying, God, I'm stepping back on the rock that is you. you the firm foundation, you the one that is strong, not me, not my own flesh, not me trying, but you that are strong. I want to say tonight, in my weakness, I am strong because of you. If that is you, I want to quickly put up your hand again. We're not going to come to the front. This is between you and God. And no spectators. Thank you, Father, for each hand. Thank you, Lord, that together, every hand that is up tonight is declaring in the Spirit that in our weakness, you make us strong. No more striving, no more trying, no more doing things from a fleshly perspective. With every hand that is up, we are declaring, we are stepping purposefully back onto the rock that is God. We want a faith that is unshakable. We want you. Come and rekindle that fire in our hearts where we know where our strength comes from. Thank you, Father, that you also say in your word, I understand. I understand. The God that has been tempted and beaten in every way, how much more can he not understand? And so thank you, Father, that we can receive that as the truth tonight, that your grace is enough. Thank you, Father. Thank you for your mercy on us. Thank you for your strength tonight. And then lastly, before we start to sing, I want everyone just to take the hand of the person next to you. If you are visiting us tonight, you can pray this or agree with this for your own church, for where you're coming from. But I feel God just says it in the Spirit. We need to declare this together. That we want to be a church that is unshakable. Not because of who we are, but because we believe in the kingdom that is unshakable. That we are here, not because of our own selfish desires or what we get out of it, but because of God. And so, Father, as a representative of the leadership, Father, I come and declare that from the leadership, Lord, we are here to serve because of you. We are here to lead your flock, Father, not because of what we get or our own recognition, Father, or anything like that, Father, but because of you. To serve you, to honor you, to follow you. Father, as a part of a member of this church, Lord, we as a congregation want to declare in the Spirit, Lord, that nothing that is happening in the natural will shake our foundations in you. Whatever is happening around us in this country, in the world, Lord, currently so many things are shaking churches' foundations. Father, we want to say tonight, we will not let our foundation be shaken. We choose to stand on a kingdom that cannot be shaken. And Father, yes, we are weak. Yes, we are fleshly beings, Father. Yes, sometimes we feel like we cannot do this. But thank you, Father, that you've made a way even for that. That you say that we as a church can declare to you, in our weakness, Father, you have made us strong. And so, Lord, we lay our pride aside. And we say, Father, knit us together. Bind us in unity so that we can be a blessing to you. And a blessing to one another. Thank you, Father, for each person standing here tonight. I'm going to pray your blessing over them and speak over their lives for that unshakable faith. That their feet will follow you. That their hearts will long for you and desire you. That their reward will be you, no matter what. And I literally see an image of someone standing just before this dark figure, and he's trying to mock you, and I just see this person smiling with such peace. And I hear God saying, no weapon that is formed against you will prevail. Thank you for that kind of faith, that in the midst of whatever, our reward is God. And we celebrate you tonight. In Jesus' name, let's worship.